Welcome to the replay of our live weekly career coaching session. I am Michael Sherlock, the founder and leader of the Enlightened Workplace Community, where employees and leaders embark on a transformative journey towards enlightenment. Throughout my career, I have made it my purpose to guide professionals who are committed to their career development. I've successfully led teams of over 500 employees at a time, so I know firsthand how a person can grow in their career. I continue to do this today in our dynamic and engaging community where we collectively learn and develop together.
Happy New Year, everybody. Can you believe it? It is 2024. Gosh, it seems like yesterday it was just 2023, or literally 2 days ago. I don't know about that. So welcome, welcome everybody. And we have some new members as well. We have at least two, possibly three. Not sure if they're all going to join us here today, but I love the fact that we are growing in this new year. I want to thank you for also starting like your first day back with us. And hope you felt it was a productive day so far. Now, for those of you who are with us, especially in the last session in 2023, we were working on our big professional goals, and we are trying to set things up for success in the new years. So for those of you who are already in our virtual water cooler and were in our last session, we set the format for how to actually work through your professional goal of the year. And using the template of, first of all, stating what your big goal is and looking at that big goal through the lens of a couple different things. Number one, my personal why. And so if you recall, I gave the example, let's say your big goal in 2024 is to get promoted, that to first ask yourself, what is the personal reason for this? And that personal reason can be a lot of different things. It could be, I want the status, I want a paycheck, I want to be able to be a leader, whatever. We all have these things. I also kind of call them selfish, a little bit like selfish need, like our whys that are the things that we really want that we don't always talk about to other people, but that's okay. But then there, the challenge was to look at it from a business why. So if you're, again, let's just stick with the goal of being promoted. If that was your goal, then the business why should align to success for the business. So that should be something like, because when I am promoted, the business will benefit more from my expertise. I'll be able to bring more to the table. We're going to be more profitable because of my work. There has to be an understanding on our part, that distinction between the personal why, like why I want this, and also about why should the business want this? Should the business want this from me? My altruistic why is there a greater good to this? And can I see it? Because when we can align all these three elements, then we start to see how working through them all helps to achieve bigger success. Let's say if you're a business owner like me, my personal why, I think I shared with you guys, it's the launch of kind of our, what we're calling the Fred book in 2024. And so then there's components of that about, you know, what's going to happen when at different times of the year. But my personal why is I'm ready to share my story about Fred, our crazy once upon a time feral cat who is now like, he's on the cushion. He's just like zonked out. It's amazing. But my personal why is I can't wait to share that story with the rest of the world. My business why is it's also aligned to some things that we're doing. I love the leadership lessons that we're pulling through it. And the altruistic why is we're going to tie this into actually having a number of cats we pay for to get at what they call TNR, tested, neutered, release. So I can have personal, business, and altruistic whys. When I know why they align, what they are and why they align, I'm more likely to achieve success. So then if you recall, I asked you to list everything that must be done in order for this goal to be achieved. Now you're going to have to go along with it, add to it as you go along. But that is that kind of that brain dump. We're like, what are all the pieces that will make this actually successful? And can I start to list them out and kind of put them in order? In the beginning, you could just put them all on paper. But after that, start looking at it, go, well, what has to happen first for the next thing to happen? Then to really look at it about what needs to happen in Q1. So January, February, March of 2024, in order to this to be successful. Now, maybe your goal can be accomplished in Q1, which is wonderful. But if it is going to take the whole year, then break it down to what needs to be done to show success by Q1, Q2, all those elements. And if you recall, as we also listed all the elements, I asked you to put down what would you need to do today, January 2nd, tomorrow, the 3rd, the 4th. But the point behind this is breaking things down to bite-sized pieces. How do we reach success? We have to chew a little bit at a time. And when we chew a little bit at a time, we also then start to taste the flavor of this. Is this working? Is it not? Is it really the goal I want? Is it really what I want to achieve? And so I challenged you all to place your 2024 goal in our virtual water cooler. I had a few people do it, not everybody. I put one of mine down there. And I'd really encourage you to do that so we can help you be accountable and help you to, have a little support, have a little cheerleading when needed. But to do this, we're also going to take a little bit of a deep dive. So today's session, don't run away. Today's session is called The Good, the Bad, and the Rotten Employee. Now, some of you on here are entrepreneurs. You might not even be an employee, or maybe you are a business owner. So you might say, well, how do I stack up that against that if I'm not an employee? Well, I'm going to challenge you to look at yourself from the role of employee to your mission. So if you're an entrepreneur, what is your role as your employee, your caretaker status to the mission of your company? If you own a company, what is, I want you to look through the lens of how do I operate every day in order to make my business successful? And believe me, I have to do this myself all the time. Ask myself, am I in line with where we need to go, or do I need to adjust? And always, I'm a little bit in line and there's need for a little bit of adjustment. That's okay. That's for all of us. But why do I want to bring this down to the good, the bad, and the rotten? It's because I have to challenge us all to recognize that we each are each one of those at different points in our careers, at different times in our job, at different times in the week, different times in our personal lives. We can be a good employee. We can be an excellent or great employee. We can also be kind of bad. Sometimes we can be downright rotten. And it's not to beat ourselves up, as I always say, but it's rather to find recognition. I want to tell you a quick story. I applied for a job a long time ago, long, long time ago. And I went into this interview and there were two people interviewing me. And when I went in, I think I've told this story before, but it's worth mentioning again. So I went into this meeting and it was held in a small little hotel meeting room. And I was meeting with two gentlemen and they had this big table, kind of a round table. And so they were on kind of, you know, we were like equidistant. So we kind of made a triangle on this table. And in the middle of the table was a pitcher of water. And in front of each one of us, there was one glass that was up and one glass that was down. And it, you know, the funny things you pay attention to, like when you're walking into a room, that was like the first thing that jumped out at me. I'm like, why are there some glasses up and some glasses down? I had no idea. So as the interview was going on, and I'm pretty good at interviewing, as you might notice, I like to talk and I'm pretty comfortable with it. And I'm very comfortable in interviews. So I knew things were going right and doing really well, but at one point, one of the gentlemen who was interviewing me reaches into the middle of the table and he takes the glass that was upside down and he turns it right side up and he fills it with water. And I thought, that's so weird. Why not just take the one that was already right side up? Why do that effort to go right side up? And I thought that was interesting. A couple of minutes later, the other gentleman did the same thing, took the glass that was upside down, turned it right side up. And I thought, that is so weird. Left the interview, didn't think about it again, got hired for the job. About 2 months into the job, I'm riding along with my district manager, who was one of the two in the room. And I said, Glenn, what's the deal with the glasses? And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, in the interview, what was the deal with the glasses? You know, you guys were like turning them right side up, upside down. What was that about? He started laughing and he said, that's kind of like our little sign language in an interview. If we think it's going well, we like this candidate, we take the glass that is upside down and turn it right side up. to give the other person the indication, I like this candidate. And then it's always the hiring manager that gets to make the decision first. And then the other person, if they take the glass that was already right side up and turn it down to get the other glass, that means don't like this person. So it gives them some sort of, you know, kind of shorthand about how to know whether or not this is a good candidate from a gut feeling. That has always stuck with me because it's always made me think, how can we have some shorthand languages between us as leaders at times to tell each other whether or not we feel employees are on track or not, not just during the interview process? Because we don't always get to say that. We don't always get the chance to talk about every employee we have, but we're all thinking things. So why is it important to know what another leader within an organization is thinking? Well, it's because it helps you, number one, recognize maybe some positive traits about somebody that you didn't know. It also helps you sometimes recognize negative traits that you didn't recognize or know about. And sometimes it helps to solidify whether you actually have a good candidate or a challenging candidate. So to go through this process, I thought we'd look at a little bit of fun data. I went to Indeed.com today, and I was Googling 20 qualities of a good employee. This is what I found. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. What I'm going to ask you to do is ask you to give yourself a true, honest assessment of you as an employee, or you as a leader, or you as a business owner, or you as an entrepreneur, whatever your deal is, rate yourselves as if you were giving yourself your annual performance review from 2023. Why are we doing this now? Because it is going to tie in directly to how successful we're going to be in 2024 with that major big professional goal that we have. All right, here we go. There's no right or wrong. I'm not going to ask you to share your numbers. There's no test at the end. There's no good or bad or ugly in this. There's only awareness. Only awareness. Number one, it says, according to Indeed.com, these are the 20 qualities of a good employee. Number one, ambitious. Ambitious employees want to do well in their positions and continue to develop their careers. They're often willing to take on challenging assignments and learn new things, setting high goals for themselves and working hard to achieve them. Now, what's interesting here about the word ambitious is sometimes people hear the word ambitious and they cringe. Ooh, ambitious means I'm going to run somebody over to get what I want. Ambitious means I'm going to get somebody pushed out of the way so I can get to the front of the line. But that's not the case, especially if you listen to the definition here that they have. Ambitious employees want to do well. That means they care about the outcomes. Now, if you had to rate yourself looking at last year on a scale of 1 to 10, being completely honest, how would you rate yourself as being ambitious? It doesn't matter if it's a low number or a high number. There's nobody to give you a gold star after this, only you. Number two, autonomous. They say autonomy is an excellent quality for employees in positions that naturally require little oversight, which is a lot of this world today. Now, we talked about, you know, unless you're in a factory making buttons where you have to do the same thing over and over again, a lot of our jobs require autonomy. Knowing you can trust your team to do their assigned work without constantly checking on them saves you as a leader time and efficiency. So the question is, how would you rate yourself in terms of being autonomous? Be honest. This is where it comes down to, does somebody have to remind me what's on my to-do list? Does somebody have to remind me when deadlines are? Do they have to some of the time, all of the time, part of the time, never of the time? How would you rate yourself out of one to 10? Number three, and this one's really important to me, collaborative. Many jobs require employees to work together, so the capacity for collaboration and an appreciation of teamwork helps substantially when hiring employees for team positions. Look for candidates who enjoy spending time with others and respect others' thoughts and ideas. Respect others' thoughts and ideas. So collaborative means, are you willing to work with somebody else to find success? Are you willing to work with them when you really want it to be your way? Are you willing to work with them when they say, I have some suggestions about what you're doing. I might have some ideas for improvement. Are you willing to open up to that? How would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10? The next one is committed to performing your job well for the success of the business. It's an attractive trait in a potential hire, but really it's an attractive trait at any point in time when somebody's in a position to say, am I really committed to this? Am I committed to the success? Because if I am, I will work towards things systematically. I will adapt as needed. And I will also adjust, and I will find ways that I can improve without beating myself up. So it says an upside to those people with this quality, people committed to their jobs, seek out professional development opportunities like this community to further improve their skill sets. So if you had to look at 2023 and rate yourself 1 to 10 as far as being committed, with that real emphasis on professional development, besides the fact that you're here, which already gives you an increased bump in that number, in my view, how would you rate it? Number 5, communicative. Few positions exist that let employees work absolutely on their own. Most jobs require some communication with other stakeholders, both internal and external. This means employees can clearly explain themselves and listen to others. Those are the most important assets to a company. So that means you got to talk with people that you don't always work with. You've got to talk with clients. You've got to talk with your leaders. You've got to talk with other people. But talk for the purpose of achieving goals that achieve business success. How would you rate yourself on 1 to 5? Now, I'm going to take a break from this little list for a minute. I'm going to tell you a story. I was doing some performance reviews quite a while ago with some companies that I was doing consulting work with. And so we had kind of their basic like performance review. So it's, you know, about how well you achieved your goals, you know, what your commitment was, you know, all the basics that you'd expect, and asked people to rate themselves first as either met expectations, did not meet expectations, exceeded expectations, greatly exceeded expectations. And I had somebody who was not meeting a lot of our expectations in a lot of ways. And when it came to her self-review, the one question that was about timeliness, showing up for work on time. And she said, I absolutely exceed expectations in showing up for work on time. And I said, that's kind of interesting. I said, so what do you mean by that you exceed expectations? She said, I show up for work on time every day. I said, every day? She goes, well, mostly. I mean, we just have to be in before 9 o'clock or whatever the answer was. And I said, okay, so mostly. And I said, so what about calling out, you know, giving communication? So we had all these dialogues, but at the end of the day, I said, okay, for the most part, you show up on time. But the key is here for you to understand that that is only actually meeting my expectation. I expect you to show up for work on time. That's not exceeding my expectations. That's a basic conduit of a job, to show up on time. So you're meeting this. I don't know anybody who's going to exceed this expectation because, number one, I don't want them to work themselves to death and tell me they're exceeding because they work 5 extra hours every day. But I don't want you to pat yourself on the back for doing what's the minimum expectation. So when I think about communication and being communicative with people, I think about how well we talk about things in reality. Can we be honest when we have a mistake? Can we be honest when we don't get something done? Can we be honest when we miss a deadline and not have it be something we're trying to push under the rug or try and make it pretty or add sparkles to it, but instead that we're actually just talking about it? Because the one thing I don't expect of my team is perfection. I think we know that perfection is just an illusion. But improvement comes from being able to communicate, being committed to the outcome, and doing so with a sense of knowing that what they do, what I do, what we do makes a difference. So can we have that? So I'm going to go through the next 5 very quickly. Here are the topics: confident, creative, detail-oriented, enthusiastic, and hardworking. So how are we going to rate ourselves on this? Confidence is about more than just being like, oh, I'm so confident and I'm an extrovert. Confidence is taking risks. Confidence is also about being honest when there's a mistake. Confidence is about being willing to talk about where your developmental areas are. So confidence for me is about people being honest. Being honest. So how would you rate yourself on 1 to 10, scale 1 to 10 for being confident? Creative is something that is about looking beyond your job description. If somebody just does their job and shows up and doesn't have any other ideas, anything else to offer, any new creatives, any more but, oh yeah, buts, like I want somebody to challenge something we're doing. I want them to say, I know you want us to do this, but I think there might be a better way to do it. I think we're doing a great job on this, but I think there's other options we need to look at. That's creativity. It says creative thinkers question status quo and look for ways to improve longstanding practices and procedures. Creative people don't say, but this is the way we've always done it. Creative people say, why is this the way we've always done it? And sometimes they'll find the answer and go, sounds good. Sometimes they'll hear the answer and go, what else could we do? How would you rate yourself in 2023 as being creative in your job? Detail oriented. This is not always my strong point, gonna tell you. That's why I work off lists. I'm not good with details. Mercy's laughing right now because she knows when I get lost in all the details, I can go down swimming and drowning fast. So detail-oriented, though, means that we do take time to make sure things are as good as they can be without holding on to perfectionism so hard that we never get anything done. There's a balance between that. But as my team also knows, I used to be an English literature teacher. I am crazy about correct spelling, correct punctuation. I want the spacing right in a sentence. Those details make me nuts if they're off. And if you're not detail-oriented, you can still do a good job. Just have a partner somewhere that's good at details and looking at those things. Or this is when collaboration takes effect. If I'm not good at proofreading content, I might have somebody else in the company that might be good at proofreading my stuff to give me a last eye. If you had to look at yourself from detail-oriented in 2023, how would you rate yourself 1 to 10? Enthusiastic? I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I have a lot of energy. I like enthusiastic people. I like surrounding myself with enthusiastic people. Sometimes I can exhaust people, not going to lie. Sometimes my energy is a little too much for other people. Oh, well, that is what it is. But enthusiasm is not just being able to be loud, talk a lot. Enthusiasm is actually caring about what you're doing. Caring and excitement about what you're doing. I have known accountants that I could no more do their job. I could never be an accountant. People who are accountants, I bow down to you. I hate that stuff. Talking about my detail stuff. But I know people are love numbers so much that they just do it so well. I need people like that, that are enthusiastic about what they do and bring themselves to the table. So how would you rate yourself on your enthusiasm in your job or in your job search? Remember, if you're looking for a job, in your job search, if you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, how enthusiastic are you? Number 10, hardworking. Hardworking. This is the last one we're going to dive down in rating. Hardworking. Hardworking employees meet their goals, putting in the time and effort to ensure, not just hope, ensure they're contributing as much as they can to the company and not putting undue pressure on their colleagues. I have this joke I tell my team, like I always ask people to, if they have something they need urgently, to say, is this a red light, yellow light, or green light type of issue? Red light means this is business critical. This has to be done. Everything else has to stop till this is done. Yellow is this is really important. We need to get to it before the end of the day. Green is, hey, this is something we need to take care of. But your red light issue might not be somebody else's. So sometimes we create problems for other people because we didn't plan well enough to give other people the time they need to do their part. So if we aren't making sure that we follow through on our own planning, our own objectives, our own pieces of the puzzle, and then we make somebody else, make them responsible for getting something done quickly, then that's not hardworking. That's transferring responsibility. So how can we look at ourselves and say, and here they say, often hard workers take extra time if they need it to complete a project well, rather than submitting something unpolished or unfinished. And hardworking means also self-reflective. Can I really say I feel proud of what I'm submitting? And if so, great. And if not, and you still need to submit it, can you honestly say, I don't feel like this is my best work, but it's the first thing I have. I'd love some collaboration. That goes back to honesty and hardworking working together. So if you had to look back on 2023, how would you rate yourself as hardworking? I'll just run through real quick the other 10 because they're kind of fun. Honest, which was the next one. Humble, inquisitive, being a leader to, even if you're not a leader of people, being marketable, organized, passionate, positive, proactive, and reliable. All very important. But now my question is, go back and look at all those terms that we looked at, the first 10, and ask and look at it. And I want you to circle three of them, the three lowest ratings you gave to yourself, the three lowest ratings. So in case you didn't get all the terms, the first one was ambitious, autonomous, collaborative, committed, communicative, confident, creative, detail-oriented, enthusiastic, and hardworking. Circle the lowest three numbers that you rated yourself. When you circle these, I want you to ask yourself, what do these things, how will these three things that I rated myself lowest in impact my success towards my largest 2024 goal? So let me ask that again from a little different perspective. If I worked, or what, if I perform in 2024 the way I performed in 2023, these three things that I just rated myself lowest in, will they positively or negatively impact my success with my big 2024 goal? You might not have an answer for that yet. But you might start to say, well, if one of mine's detail-oriented and part of my goal requires a lot of details that cannot be dropped, like deadlines, then that's an area I need to give myself more attention to. I want to make sure to create time and space to work on being better at detail-oriented, or finding a way to have some support with being more detail-oriented, or finding somebody to help collaborate with me to be more detail-oriented. So if those things are important, how can we make small changes? And how can we look at this at every week through these next 52 weeks to say, if I continue to work on improving this area of detail-oriented and being autonomous and being collaborative, those things will help benefit me, then let's track it a little bit. Let's talk about it. Let's use it as a basis. Let's use it as a component to say, if, for instance, one of my things is not being detail-oriented, did I start out with my to-do list today when I went back to work today, or when I resumed my job search today, or when I went back to run my business today after a holiday? If I didn't start out with my to-do list before moving into today, or the very latest, the first thing this morning, what can I do differently right now for tomorrow? We can't fix today, but we can fix tomorrow. So if you had to look at your big goal for 2024, honestly, take a look at it right now and ask yourself, what do I need to do tonight before I go to bed to set myself up for tomorrow's success? And before the end of tomorrow, can I set myself up for Thursday's success? And before I finish my day on Friday, can I do two things? Can I set myself up for Friday's success? Monday's success, but can I also take a bigger view of the entire week next week? Because if I can take a look at that bigger view, then I can start to break it down into other pieces.
Thank you for completing the session today. Your journey doesn't end here. Make sure to supplement what you learned today by completing the suggested assignments that will contribute to your ongoing growth and progress. While many individuals aspire to develop their careers, not everyone is willing to make the necessary commitment and maintain consistency in their development. It's important to remember that true progress and advancement requires dedication. If you have any questions or feedback, please post it on the virtual water cooler. And in case you missed any of our previous sessions, don't worry. Gold and Platinum members access them on our training platform anytime. If you aren't yet a Gold or Platinum member, click on the upgrade link to learn more. But for now, we'll see you in our next live session.